For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. These are words that Paul wrote in his letter to those in Galatia. But what did he mean by them? Did he mean that distinctions no longer matter? Well, yes and no. They do not matter in terms of salvation. Jesus Christ has paid the price for all people, whether rich or poor, Jew or Greek, male or female. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all have received forgiveness from him by his death on the cross, equally, equal status. Jesus' free gift of salvation is yours for the receiving through faith. But Paul did not mean to say that those distinctions would be removed. In fact, in another letter, he wrote quite the opposite. In a letter so short that it is only one chapter in the Bible, he wrote to Philemon. He writes on the behalf of Philemon to his master, Onesimus. And he encourages Onesimus to receive Philemon back as his slave, as his servant. You see, Paul had developed a relationship with this man, Philemon, who had run away from Onesimus, his master. And while Paul taught him the truth of God's word and what it meant to be a Christian, he did not say to continue running away. In fact, he sent him back to Onesimus with this letter. And yet in other places in Scripture, in Corinthians, he says, "Were you a slave when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity." So Scripture does say things about slavery. The media gets that correct. But they miss that line about if you are in slavery, that you should avail yourself of the opportunity to get out. But he continues, "For he who was called in the Lord as a slave is a freed man of the Lord. Likewise, who was free when called is a slave of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, let him there remain with God." What matters before God is not your position on earth, but whether you have been faithful, whether you have been baptized and believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, for your salvation. Nothing else matters. But as ones who have been redeemed, you live in those positions and those vocations, which includes not only your occupation, but whether you are a brother or sister, mother, father, uncle, aunt, so on and so forth. With this in mind, we'll consider each of the texts for this morning in turn as to how best to serve our fellow humanity as ones who have been redeemed by Christ. In Amos, God calls out the wealthy of the land of Israel. He names their sins in being more concerned with riches than in dealing well with their fellow brothers and sisters of humanity. In fact, some of them were buying and selling each other for silver rather than assisting their fellow men. They were also dealing with each other with false balances and with weights, and were not living as ones who had been set apart by God. Thanks be to God, we are in a nation that no longer practices slavery. But are you off the hook? Do you deal justly with all of those who come to you for business? Or do you try to use underhanded means and false balances and weights when people come to you for good business? What is more, do you ever do this to those who treat you poorly on one account or another? Especially if they treat you poorly because of being a Christian. What kind of examples does that set for those outside of the church? In Amos' days, it was the Israelites who had been set apart by God, and those of the rest of the world were looking to them as an example for what God would do. That's how Rahab knew to hide Joshua's spies rather than to betray them to the government of Jericho. She said, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and the earth beneath. Rahab and others had heard the word being passed around that this group of people, the Israelites, had indeed crossed through the Red Sea on dry ground, and that God had closed up the waters over Pharaoh and his armies, drowning them, and had sent the fear of God among all the people around that heard it and actually believed it. And so, too, Rahab, she heard this word about God and how the Israelites feared him, and she believed. Even though she was an outsider, she was a Gentile, she still had faith. Years later, though, Amos was accusing the people of Israel of a lack of faith in how they were treating people, not only the Gentile foreigners, but even each other. As one who has been redeemed by Christ Jesus, how are you doing in serving your fellow men and women? Are you fulfilling your duties both to God and to other people? Would others hear of your faith so that they might desire to have your God as their God? Or do your interactions with them make them wonder if your God is really so great that you don't fear him enough to serve them justly? The interactions that people on the outside watch are not only with them, but also how you treat one another in marriage and the times leading up to it, such as dating and so forth. Just a couple weeks ago, you heard from the author of Hebrews that you were called to let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral. Just as certainly as those outside of the church watch as to how you deal with them in business, they also watch you in everyday life. They watch if you pray before your meals at a restaurant. They watch how you deal with your children, and they watch how you live both before marriage and during marriage. While you might be able to live with one another in the same household and not engage in married behavior, what impression are you giving to those outside of the church? Are you giving them the impression that it's okay to act as though you're married before you are married so that they also can do the same things? Might they get the idea that you are defiling the marriage bed by doing married things before marriage if you live together before you are? What about those of you who are married? Are you holding your relationship in the honor that it deserves? After all, marriage was a gift of God that was given even before the fall into sin. It came before baptism. It came before the sacrament of Holy Communion. It came before in the fall into sin. Marriage was the first thing given. Are you upholding it and giving it the honor that you should? Or those of us who are single, are we living in full devotion to God as ones who do not have allegiance to another? Are we serving God full-hearted? Or do we let our eyes and our thoughts wander? Wander to places that can only bring us spiritual harm. And just as there are particular roles for rich and poor, slave and free, there are roles for those of us who are male and for who are female, whether married or not. In 1 Timothy, we heard that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise, also the women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Here God gives both men and women things to do, to consider their place in life, their roles in life. Again, equal status, but different roles. Men, do you pray for one another? Do you lift holy hands? And, you know, I think that's kind of an adiaphora. I don't know how often I lift my hands when I'm in the congregation. A few weeks ago, I was up at my niece and nephew's, and I attended church as a visitor rather than as the pastor, and I don't remember lifting my hands, my holy hands, but I did pray with them. So how are you doing with that? Do you continue and persist in prayer? Or do you instead argue and quarrel with one another or with others? Do you listen to the needs of your wives if you have them? Do you put her needs above your own as Christ did for His bride, the church? Women, do you dress in modesty? Do you adorn yourself with good works? Do you submit, not in inferiority, but as your role and your relationship with your husband? Again, if you have one. And so also, women who are not called to be pastors or leaders in the church, but learners and teachers in the church. Again, the main question each of these texts is getting at, have you been living lives of faithfulness? As once redeemed by Christ, we must honestly answer that we have not. Not one of us. Jesus said in this parable in Luke that one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, or have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? Truly, we do not deserve God's riches. We do not deserve heaven. We don't deserve His love. We don't deserve His gifts. We can never hope to earn our salvation. Thanks be to God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, then, because His works and His death have given us eternal life as a free gift, not of our imperfect works. So then we have the hope of eternal life, not of ourselves, but of Jesus' work. Because of this, we have been freed, free to be the children of God, but not freed to do whatever we want. We can only serve one of two things, righteousness or sin, God or money. Don't live as a slave of sin, but for Christ's sake, live as a slave of righteousness. It is true that you cannot do that of yourself, and that is why God has given you His Holy Spirit. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Included in that promise is the giving of the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that you have received through the hearing of the word and through your holy baptism. Live then as slaves of righteousness, loving God and loving others, those of the faith and those outside of the faith. In Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.